The following audio is from Harvest Fellowship. For more information about Harvest Fellowship, visit harvestabq.org.
Good morning, church. I am so glad that you came today. It's going to be a fun day. Are you ready to have some fun? Huh? Man, Rachel, I think she drank a couple of double shot lattes, right? That was awesome, right? I'm ready to go. Hey, there are some great life groups. I'm excited all of them, but I'm really excited about the men's life group that's getting going. Mitch and Anthony are leading that. And men, I want to use every tactic I can, including shaming you, okay? You need to be there. I'm just telling you, like, real men go to life groups, right? Yeah. Sissy men stay at home and do whatever you do. I don't know. All right. So, and then if you're new, I have a group that Lisa and I lead called Newbies, and we do it once or twice a year. If you consider yourself new, it's just a great time. We get to know you. You get to know us. You get to know the church. It's a really fun time. So we'll be doing that this semester. So I hope you will make it. And I had an idea. This is not like an official announcement, but I had an idea. They were talking about women's conference kicking off Thursday. So here's what I know that means. That means men of ladies that are going to women's conference, that means you're on kid duty Thursday night. That means it's your turn to cook dinner. The way I cook dinner is I go to Chick-fil-A, all right? So if you want, my kids have a soccer game at 5:00 on Thursday. When it ends, I'm going to Cottonwood Chick-fil-A, all right? So if you want to join me, that's where I'm going to be with my kids. So I'll be there about 7:00, so you can get there about 6:30, get ready. I'll be there. We'll have a good time, all right? That's an unofficial announcement. You're not surprised that I'll be at Chick-fil-A, are you? I'll be there. All right, so there you go. Well, hey, today is double day. Are you excited? This is a great day. All right, so here's the deal. We've been planning for this for a while, and it was just a way for us to encourage people to invite their friends to come to church. And so I'm looking around. I see some faces that I don't recognize, and I'm guessing some of you are friends of people that go here, and you just need to know how much your friends love you. All right, they're proud of you. I had someone during meet and greet like, "This is my friend." I mean, they introduced me. I'm like, I didn't even know you had friends, you know, but we are excited that you are here, and I hope you'll stay afterwards. We've already got a team that's setting up outside. You might have seen it on the way in. They're going to be grilling burgers, and because it's double day, if your heart so desires, you can get a double cheeseburger today, okay? Because our philosophy is, if one is good, two has to be better. Am I right? All right, so double. In fact, I got to thinking, things that are better when they're doubled, all right? So that's part of why we did double shot espressos this morning. Did anyone get one of those from Little Bear Coffee? They did amazing. Two hands, right, for the double. They were delicious. We're doing double cheeseburgers today. At staff meeting this week, we were brainstorming, right? What's better when it's doubled? And we were throwing ideas around, and I threw out an idea. I said, double rainbows. I think double rainbows are pretty incredible. And at the same exact time, Pastor Tyler and Eleanor both kind of freaked out, and they were like, "The double rainbow guy." I said, "I don't know what that means. That you're going to have to clue me in." So they quickly pulled up YouTube, and they showed me the double rainbow guy, and I just had to share this with you this morning because it's awesome, okay? So check out double rainbow guy. Here you go. Was that not awesome? Here's the deal. That goes on for 3.5 minutes, all right? We had to cut it down. 3.5 minutes of this dude going wacko crazy over a double rainbow. Listen, when you're eating your cheeseburgers today, I better hear some like, "Whoa, it's a double cheeseburger. It's looking like a triple cheeseburger," right? Some things are just better when they're doubled, right? How about this? Have you ever wished that you could have double the time so you could get everything done? Has that ever been a thought of yours? Like, if I just had more time, right? How about this one? What if your boss called you in tomorrow and said, "Hey, you are so awesome. Starting today, we're going to double your income." Anyone? Anyone, would that be all right with you? Lord, make it happen right now. Come on. All right? Double the income. And I already talked about my love for Chick-fil-A, but what about double Chick-fil-A, right? And here's the problem. Here's the problem is I talk about Chick-fil-A on Sundays and they're closed, right? That's the problem. So yesterday, Pastor Tyler went to Chick-fil-A for me. He went yesterday and he got me not one chicken sandwich, but two chicken sandwiches, all right? Because it's double day, all right? And if I was a good pastor, I'd give these away, but I'm not. So I'm going to keep these for me, all right? So double's fun, right? And here's my last one. Things that are awesome when they're double is the church, right? Like, isn't church better when your friends are here? Isn't it better? And listen, I'm not even saying like this church, all right? I'm saying, like, I have the, what could happen if the church in Albuquerque doubled, right? If we found more people who had the heart of Christ in our city to love and to serve and to give. Here's what I do know is we'd have a lot less angry drivers, right? If the church would double, right? We'd have a lot nicer waiters and waitresses, and like the city could actually change, right? And that's the idea of double day, is let's introduce as many of our friends to Jesus as we can. Now today I want to talk to you about choosing joy. So do me a favor, look at the friend that is next to you and just encourage him this morning. Say, hey, choose joy, all right? Just tell him right now. And then look at the person that was your second choice, all right? And tell him, say, you look like you need some joy this morning, all right? Just remind them, all right? You look like you need, some of you do look like you need some joy, all right? So here's the deal. I think we have an epidemic in our world today in that I just think there's too many unhappy people in the world today. Have you experienced this? I mean, there's just some unhappy people, right? A couple of months ago, I was doing some work on our house. I had Andres with me. He was our bass player this morning. And we had to go get some supplies. So we jumped in the truck. We drove to Home Depot because real men go to Home Depot. They don't go to Lowe's. And so we went to Home Depot and we got the supplies that we needed. And we got back in the truck and we're driving out of the parking lot. And I'm driving slow because we're in the parking lot. Right? And just the way this happened, there was a car that was passing me. We were passing at the same time. And so there was a guy coming out and I couldn't see him because he was behind this car that was passing me. And so by the time I saw him, he was like right in front of me. So I stopped and I wasn't even close to him. I mean, it was not a close encounter, I promise you. All right? But this dude was very unhappy that I had to stop for him. All right? And so he's pushing his cart. He's got his stuff on his cart and he's got a four-year-old on his cart, and as he passes the front of my truck, he just does this. He's glaring at me, and I'm like, you know, kind of, I'm confused, and he gets past me, and he stops, and he turns around, and he throws his hands in the air, and there were two of his fingers in the air when he did this. You can guess which two, and he used a word that begins with F, and it was not forgiveness, and it was not, you know, fun, and it was, you know, it was a different word, and just two fingers, and he's like, hey, you know, and I'm like, dude, I didn't see you, I'm sorry. And I looked at Andres, and I said, can you imagine how miserable that guy is? I mean, how miserable that this little interaction set him off, you know, it's like I ruined his whole day, his whole life, right? And the problem is, I see those people all the time. Do you see them too? I mean, it just seems like they're everywhere. There's just so many unhappy people in the world today. Now, let me ask you a question, and you have to be honest about this morning. Have you ever lost your joy? Anyone? Have you ever lost your joy? I'm talking like temporarily, right? Lost your joy? Pastor Tyler and I, he's raising his hand. I'm glad, because if he didn't, I was going to rat him out. We lost our joy this summer together. I'll tell you the story. We took 30 teenagers and their family to Orlando this summer for a conference. And I don't know whose idea it was, but since we're in Orlando, we're like, we should take the students to this place. It's called the happiest place on earth. Have you heard about this place? And it's in Florida. It's called the happiest place on earth. And so we bought 30 tickets. We drove there that morning. It takes like an hour just to get from the parking lot to the
ticket counter. We get to the ticket counter. It's 1,000,000 degrees. There's sweat coming out of places in my body that I didn't know had sweat options, all right? And so we're standing there. I'm just like, why do they call this the happiest place on earth? This is awful, awful, awful stuff. And I started to lose my joy. I'm just going to tell you. And we're at the counter, and they have these windows in the counter that are shaped like mice, and a mouse, not mice. And I noticed that there's cool air coming out of that, okay? So I did what anybody would do, and I lifted my shirt, and I put it over the hole so I could capture, you know, the cold air, not thinking that people around me thought I was flashing for fast passes. I was not. They didn't give me anything extra, although my friend, I think his name was Will, he was really into this. It was cool. And so I'm trying my best to keep my joy, okay? So we got our tickets. Then I realized we still can't get into the park. Then we still have to take a train to get to the park, and there's 30 of us. So we're losing people, and oh, it was awful. And then we finally get into the park, all right? And I'm just going to, by that point, Tyler and I had lost our joy, okay? And the thing to do at the happiest place on earth is to buy t-shirts that about the happiest place on earth. So no one in the group knew this, but the night before, Pastor Tyler and I had went to the store and we bought shirts just for us because we knew we were going to lose our joy. That's why. And so when we got into the park, we changed shirts, and this is, you can't see it really good, but it says across our shirt, current mood, and it's a picture of Grumpy, okay? So we knew. We were like, we're just going to be grumpy today, all right? And we lost our joy, and this picture, we're telling ourselves, keep it together, keep it together, keep it together, all right? So some of you, have you lost your joy before? Some of you. So I'm not talking about temporarily losing your joy. What I'm really talking about is this epidemic in our world today where people are living void of joy. I mean, it's just like there's nothing that is satisfying. There's nothing, you know, that they can live for. It's just there's just too many people. And here's what I want to tell you this morning is I don't think that's the life that Jesus dreamed for you. In fact, there's a verse in John chapter 10 where it says this. Jesus said, "The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy." He said this, "But I have come that you may have life to the full," right? That full kind of a life. That's the life that I think Jesus dreams about for us. And so today I want to talk to you about the life-changing decision. The life-changing decision. There's a verse in Isaiah that I want to go to start us off because it kind of paints the picture for us. Isaiah, in the book of Isaiah, the people of Israel, things are going from bad to worse. Has this ever happened to you? I mean, it's like the day just starts out, you step out of bed and you stub your toe, you know, and you can't find matching socks, and the kids can't get ready fast enough, and you go to the car and there's a flat tire, you know. It's just like, have you ever had a day like that? It's just like, it just snows balls and it's just getting worse, and that's kind of what's happening to the people of Israel. The things are getting worse, and here's the deal though, and this is what I want to help you see today, is here in Isaiah, God sees something in their situation that they don't currently see. And I just want to announce this over some of you, because I know that just because there's enough of us here today, that for some of you, things are going really good today, or this week, or this month, or this year, but for some of you, you're just like, you don't know what's been happening to me. I mean, there's a lot of darkness around me, and here's, I just want to help you today, because here's what I know, is that God sees something in your life and about your situation that you are not able to see yet. And here in Isaiah, it says this. It says, the people who are walking in darkness, right? It's the dark cloud, right? The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. Of those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation, and here it is, and increased joy. I've been praying for you this week for increased joy. And look how it describes this joy. I love the description. It says, "You will rejoice as people before, or as people rejoice at the harvest, as warriors rejoice when dividing
the plunder. I love this description, okay? Because think about this, especially the description of a warrior who is rejoicing as he divides his plunder. Think about the description. The only way for a warrior to rejoice as he divides his plunder, it means that he has gone to war, that he's fought the battle, that he's come through to the other side, that he's got the plunder, what he's taken from the enemy, and he's going through it. And what he's really saying is, I survived the battle that I went through. And I saw this verse this week and I thought, I know that there's friends at Harvest this weekend who are in a battle, who are going through a battle, and you can't see the light at the end of the tunnel yet. And I just want you to know that God sees something in your circumstances, and the light is coming, and you will rejoice. And on the other side of this, you will be like a warrior who is dividing his plunder or her plunder, and you will rejoice. You will rejoice. So I want to talk to you about the life-changing joy. Life-changing joy. First thing I want to tell you is that life-changing joy is inside out. Inside out. Galatians chapter 5 talks about the fruit of the Spirit. And it begins like this. It says, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. And then it goes on and names the rest of the fruit. But I'll just stop there. And by the way, little side note. I noticed this week, I never noticed this, that in the listing of the fruit of the Spirit, I don't think anything in the Bible is an accident. I think joy could be listed anywhere in the list of the fruits of the Spirit, but it's actually listed right in the middle of love and peace. And the reason I think these three things go together, I think when you have joy, you also don't have peace. I think that's accompanying it. And I think when you have joy, first of all, you're easier to love when you have joy, but it's also easier for you to give love. And I read it this week, I thought that's kind of interesting, right? That it's in the middle there. But here's the deal. This is called the fruit of the Spirit. Think about fruit. Fruit is an outward expression of what's happening on the inside of a healthy plant, a healthy tree. Right? When a tree is growing, we can't see what's happening on the inside, but the fruit is the outward expression that it's getting the nutrients it needs and the sun it needs and the water it needs. It's an outward expression that things are good on the inside. And it's the same thing with joy. Joy is not outside in. Joy is outside, is inside out. And I just want to help you today, because maybe you're not living with joy today. I would propose to you that maybe you're view of joy is outside in. Maybe that's the problem. Think about all the ways that we look for joy on the outside. It's questions like, how much more can I get? What else can I get? Where can I go? Who can I be with? When this happens, then I'll be happy. If this happens, then I'll be happy. There's all kinds of ways for us to look for joy as an outside thing that will affect us on the inside. But here's the problem. The problem with that kind of joy is that you don't have any control over whether you're going to have joy or not, because now you're just simply a victim of whatever happens to you. And I don't think that's a good way to live. That's why I think we can choose joy. Make this life-changing decision. Look at all the bad things that are happening in the book of Habakkuk, chapter 3. It says this. It says, though the fig tree does not bud, and there are no grapes on the vines, and the olive crop fails, and the fields produce no food, and there's no sheep in the pen, and there's no cattle in the stalls. Are you getting the picture? Like, bad stuff happening, right? And I know it's hard, because most of you this week, you don't have sheep or cattle, or, you know, you're not growing figs or olives, right? So think of it in your context, right? It's like, you know, I mean, I can't pay the bills, and the kids keep growing out of their clothes, and I don't know how to afford it, and things are just bad. I mean, all these things, right? But watch what it says in Habakkuk. Oh, it's like bad, 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 bad. And then it says this, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God, my Savior. I love the yet. It's like bad, 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 yet. In other words, bad, 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 but in spite of the bad, I can still choose joy, because joy is not on the outside. Joy begins on the inside and works its way out. You can see it all through the Bible. James in chapter 1 says this, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, when you face trials of many kinds. Do you ever read the Bible and wish it said something different than what it said? Or is that just me, right? I mean, wouldn't it be awesome, right? If it's like, consider it joy when you get a raise. Consider it joy when good things are happening. Consider it joy, right? But it doesn't say that. It says, consider it joy when you face trials, right? Think about trials. Trials are outside circumstances. And James says, look, there's outside, there's bad stuff happening, right? But despite that, I'm helping you. Consider it joy. In other words, joy comes from the inside. I just want to help you this morning. Joy makes good times better and bad times easier. I'm not trying to convince you today that living for Jesus makes everything pretty, right? It's not all, you know, sparkles and unicorns just because you follow Jesus. But what I am telling you is this life-changing decision to have the joy of the Lord as our strength is that when you're living with joy, when it's not just a circumstance, when it's not just outside, but it's in you, that you can get through the bad times and it makes them bearable. It makes them easier. So here's the second thing about joy. Life-changing joy. It's not just inside out, but life-changing joy is beyond circumstances. I mean, so often we think that a circumstance is going to give us joy. When you're single, you think, when I'm married, I'll be happy. Some of you got married and thought, when I'm single again, I'll be happy, right? When I make enough money, I'll be happy. And you get that much and you realize it's still not enough. It's not enough. There's never enough to make you happy. Some of you today, Rachel talked about the kickoff of football. Some of you, you're thinking right now, if my team wins today, I will be happy. Here's the problem. 50% of your teams will win and 50% of them will not win. That's the way it works, right? You see how it's so dangerous for circumstances to determine our joy. Some of you got married and you thought, when I have children, I will be happy. Some of you with children are thinking, when my children move out, I will be happy, right? Do you see how it's, don't poke them if they're sitting next to you, all right? I mean, think about it. The circumstances, listen, if joy comes from circumstances, you're in trouble because circumstances are always changing. So if it doesn't come from circumstances, where does it come from? I'm so glad that you asked. Let me help you. Let me tell you. Okay, true joy will only be found in Jesus and in His truths. Listen, I meet people all the time, that they have everything that the world says will make them happy. They've got a great family, they live in a big house, they have a great job, they make a great income, they drive a great car, they've got all the stuff, all the trappings that the world says will make you happy. But I meet people all the time that have all of that, but they're still not happy. And can I just tell you today that the stuff is not what makes you happy, but that when you're in relationship with Jesus and you discover your purpose and you know that He loves you no matter what you do or you don't do, when you have that kind of a relationship, that's how you can have joy that is beyond circumstances. It's the only way. I'm just telling you, it's the only way to have joy because circumstances are always changing. I'm not being negative when I say this, but you could go in tomorrow and lose your job. You could walk to your car after church and have a flat tire. You could wake up sick tomorrow, right? I'm not negative. I'm just saying circumstances change, right? It's like whichever way the wind blows, things are changing. Stock market's going up and down, right? If that's what's determining your joy, you are on a roller coaster. Can I tell you who never changes? Hebrews says this. It says Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. What that means is this. You can't live your life. You can't build your life on something that's constantly changing and shifting. And you can't, because it's always moving, it's falling apart. You can build your life on something that is solid. And Jesus says he never changes. He's always been that way. He's still that way. He'll always be that way. And so what I'm telling you when I say you can find true joy in Jesus is He is a firm foundation that you can build your life upon. And He has these truths that we find in God's Word
that help us to build a life of joy. Psalm says this, Psalm 19 says this, verse 8 says, the precepts of the Lord are right. I'm just going to pause because maybe you need a definition of precepts. Precepts just means the commands or the directions or the principles. In other words, the principles of the Lord, the principles are right. And watch this, it says, they give joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant. They give light to the eyes. What I'm telling you is that the truth of God, it gives you something to build your life upon that will not be shaken, that will not go away, that cannot change. And that gives you something to build your life upon that can give you joy. So let me just give you one, just one. We give you a bunch today, but let me give you one precept, one command of the Lord that'll help you with your joy today. Okay, here it is. 1 Thessalonians, I'm going to give you three verses. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16, 17, and 18. And by the way, this would be a great couple of verses for you to memorize because they're really short and they're really simple. 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 says this, two words, rejoice always. Why don't you say that with me real quick? Say, rejoice always. That you can memorize that one, right? That's a pretty easy one, right? You know what I love about always? It doesn't give any room for exceptions, right? It's always. It's all the time. In every circumstance, 1 Thessalonians says, have joy. Rejoice always. Rejoice when it's good. Rejoice when it's bad. Rejoice when it's mundane. Rejoice always. Rejoice. The next verse says this, pray continually. Pray continually. We talked about this last week. That's almost the entire message was about how when we pray, how it allows us to choose joy. So I won't recap that. You can go back and listen to the podcast. So rejoice always, pray continually. Verse 18 says this, give thanks in all circumstances. That's where I really wanted to get. Here's the precept of the Lord that you can build your life upon. Give thanks in all circumstances. The principle is this. Thankfulness leads to joyfulness. Thankfulness leads to joyfulness. Listen, an ungrateful heart will steal your joy. An ungrateful heart will steal your joy. Last week I made some confessions. I'll make one this week. It just is good for me. I hope it's helpful to you. My whole life I've struggled with not thinking I have enough. I mean, just whatever it is, I'm always clamoring for more, thinking that more will make me happy. So this week I started kind of an internal exercise of just reminding myself, kind of a mantra, and just saying to myself, I have enough. I have enough. I've just been reminding myself, I have enough. And I'm just going to tell you, just my personal experience, it's amazing how when I remind myself that I have enough, that God has taken care of me, that He's never let me down, that we're always going to be okay. When I remind myself of that, it's amazing how it helps me to be a more joyful person. Thankfulness in all circumstances. You know what we tend to do? We tend to be thankful when things are good. We tend to be thankful. It's easy when things are good, right? In fact, you don't even have to try. But I'm encouraging you today because I want you to live this joyful life that Jesus promises, life to the full, that your joyfulness is connected to your thankfulness. Here's the third thing I want to help you with is life-changing joy is with others. It's with others. I heard Pastor Dino Rizzo recently teach on joy, and he used joy as an acronym, J-O-Y, as an acronym to help us to understand how to have joy. And so he said J stands for Jesus. And I've already told you this, but I'll tell you again because you might need to hear it a second time. The only way for you to have true joy is to have relationship with Jesus. I'm just going to tell you. That's the beginning. O stands for others. And then Y stands for yourself. Here's the problem.
Here's the problem. Culture is telling you it's the opposite. Culture is saying start with yourself. Culture is saying fight for yourself. Stand up for yourself. Put yourself first. Take care of yourself. And I'm just telling you, listen, look around today. That's what culture is saying. But what culture is showing us is there's way too many unhappy people in the world. So I'll just ask you, do you think it's working to put yourself first? The answer is no. I asked you and then I told you the answer. It's not working. The way to joy, this life-changing decision, is to put others first. There's no joy in the pathway of me, myself, and I. I love this phrase. It's kind of a cultural phrase, doing life with others. I love this. I think it's part of the key to this joy-filled life is you gotta plug in, guys. I mean, I'll just help you. Coming to church on Sunday, I'm proud of you. Keep doing it. You should. But I'm telling you, you want this joyful life, you need to connect with people, not just sit in a seat on Sunday. You need to get to know people. You need to go to a life group. You need to go to a baking group and learn how to bake stuff and find other friends. You need to go to the men's group. You need to go to the women's Bible study. That's doing life with others. And listen, here's what happens when you're doing life with others is you're constantly with, you have other people, you have accountability, you have encouragement, you have support. And when it's time to move, you have people to help you move, right? And when you need babysitting, you have people to help you to babysit so you can go out on a date because that'll give you joy, right? When you go out on a date, come on, right? But listen, that happens. And some of you are just like, I don't know I ever have anyone. I don't know what to do. Listen, you got to do life with others. This is how true joy happens. You are not created to be isolated. You are not created to do life on your own. And I'm just telling you, that's part of the problem in the world today. Is joy is found with other people. I don't know if any of you have done this. It's kind of a fad right now, this thing called the Enneagram. It's like a personality test. Anyone, have you seen it or done that? So if you've done it, it's all based on numbers. It's like you're a 2 or a 5 or whatever. So I'm a number 7, all right? Because I know you were wondering. I'm a number 7. And part of being a number 7, I won't tell you the whole thing, but part of being a number 7 is that I am always up for a party, all right? Does that surprise you, like, at all, right? Double day, let's cook cheeseburgers, right? That's my personality, right? I love your city. Let's give out Paletta bars. Like, I'm just, like, I'm looking for an excuse for a party, all right? That's what 7 means, along with a lot of other stuff, all right? So I'm thinking about this week. I'm thinking about doing life with others. I'm thinking, and of course, this is my filter, right? Is I'm always up for a party, all right? And so I started thinking about confetti, all right? I'm trying to help you see my brain, all right? I'm trying. It's hard, I know. So I'm thinking about confetti. Anyone like confetti? Confetti's for parties, right? Confetti. So thinking about confetti, and I started thinking about a single piece of confetti, all right? A single piece of confetti. And here's what I want you to know. What the enemy wants is the enemy wants you to live in isolation. The enemy does not want you to be accountable. The enemy does not want you to have someone that you can call to pray with. The enemy does not want someone that you call when you're down and you need encouragement. The enemy does not want you to have someone to go to lunch with this week or go to coffee with this week. The enemy does not want you in a life group. The enemy wants you to live isolated because when you're isolated, I'm just telling you, it affects your ability to have this life-changing joy that is available when Jesus said, I'm here to give you life to the full. So I started thinking about a single piece of confetti, which... A single piece of confetti is not called confetti, it's called confetti. Did you know that? I'm teasing you. Confetti. So think about it. How not exciting is a single piece of confetti? I mean, imagine it's your surprise birthday party, and you come walking in, and your friends are there, right? And your one number 7 friend goes, "Happy birthday! Woo! Woo! Yeah! I had to keep screaming till it landed, all right?
I was trying to make it exciting. How exciting was it? Scale of 1 to 10. 2, right? Okay. Right? It's not exciting that what I'm trying. Okay, so here's what happens, right? You live in an isolation, and you're like, I don't have any joy. Did I wake him up, Natalie? Okay. I thought I woke him up. So you live in an isolation, and so you're wondering. You're like, there has to be more. I mean, there has to be more in this life. There's got to be more joy available. There's got to be more of it. So here's what happens. Here's what happens is we begin to look for what I call shiny things, right? We start looking like, man, if I only had the new pair of shoes, if I only had the new iPhone, if I only had, you know, a better car, if I only had a new fishing pole, that's what I think, if I only had, right, I don't know, whatever does you, whatever, it's like, if I had more, if I had this, if I could be with, if I could, all these things, that's what I call shiny things. Here's the problem with shiny things. They don't stay shiny, right? They're shiny because you want it, right? It's flashy, and I have that. And so you get the shiny thing, and here's the problem with shiny things is they don't stay shiny. They're fleeting, right? They go away. Now I have to warn you that this did not work in the first service, okay? But we're gonna try again, okay? Pastor Tyler gave me a lesson between services on how to use my party popper, all right? And so we're going to hope for the best, okay? Are you hoping with me or hoping for the best? So here's what happens. They got the headphones on Elias over here because I'm about to get loud, all right? So we get the new thing, right? And we're so excited, right? I got the new phone. Come on, bro. Am I twisting the wrong way? Yeah! Jeez. Why can't I do this, Tyler? No, I'm trying again. Hold on. Turn in direction of arrow. We get the new thing. We get the new thing. So funny. And it's exciting for a little while, and we have false joy, right? It's temporary, right? It's surface. It lasts as long as the thing stays shiny. But here's the reality is it leaves us wanting. It makes us think that there's got to be more. Have you ever thought that? Have you ever thought, there's got to be more. There has to be more of this life. There has to be more than working my job and clocking in and clocking out and having kids and getting them to school and getting them to soccer and getting them to track and getting them and making them lunches. I mean, it's just, there's got to be more. There's got to be more. Can I just tell you something? The scripture says this. The scripture says that every time that a person puts their trust in the Lord, every time that someone says, you know what, I surrender. There's got to be more. There's got to be more. God, will you come into my life? You know what the scripture says? Every time that happens, it says that there's a party in heaven. Did you know that? And that excites me because I'm a 7, right? I'm like, party? Party? Where's the party? Let's go, right? And I'm still thinking about confetti, right? So I bought some confetti cannons this week. That's what this is called. But by the way, first service, I did not alert security that this was happening. And so they came in thinking that we were under attack, all right? So you just need to know that this is it's a little loud, all right? So here, you see in the progression? We start out by ourselves, right? We're isolated. We're thinking there's got to be more. We self-medicate by creating these experiences and buying stuff and doing stuff. And we start going, but it leaves us wanting because it doesn't last, right? The only way to find true joy, I've lost you. You're just like, pop the confetti cannon. The only way, it's about to happen, to find true joy is when you surrender your heart to Jesus, and then there's a party. Are you ready for it? Are you ready? Are you ready? Here we go. Isn't that awesome? Mitch, that was awesome. Am I right? Come on, tell me. You know what, Mitch? Come here, buddy. Come here. Come here, man. Come here. I mean, we need the full effect. All right, so all you do, you just twist it. These don't break on me, okay? I need Jason. Ah! 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 Isn't that way better? Oh, my goodness. Come on! Ah! We have lost control, all right? Josiah, surrender your heart to Jesus, bro. What did you do to this thing? I blew my whole month's sermon props budget on confetti cannons, all right? This is so awesome. Oh, my goodness. Who's excited you came to church today? All right. Why don't you stand with me this morning? Here's my prayer for you. My goodness, look at this. Good Lord. Would you look at that? Here's my prayer. Gosh, it's everywhere. Here's my prayer for you today. I've been praying this for you all week, okay? Gosh. I'm trying to get serious. Romans chapter 15, verse 13. Here's the prayer. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him. As you trust in him. Here's the deal, guys. I've been praying for you this week. I knew you'd come. I knew some friends would come. I know we're gonna have cheeseburgers. I mean, we're gonna have a great time. It's an awesome day. I've been praying that the God of hope would fill your life with joy and peace. But here's the secret. I can pray that. Your mom can pray that. Your wife can pray that. Here's the deal. The joy and the peace comes to you as we put our trust in him. So this morning I want to pray for you, but my question is this. Do you have an area of your life that's been stealing your joy? And this morning you'd say, you know, Pastor, I'm ready to put my trust in him. I'm ready to, you know, here's what happens for me most of the time. Is I've exhausted all of my resources and all of my ideas. And by the end of that, I've usually made it worse instead of better. And I come to God. It's kind of like we said last week, Pastor, all I have left to do is pray, right? What if we started there? What if we said, God, I'm going to trust you with this marriage that I have royally messed up. God, I'm going to trust you with my health. I'm going to trust you with my kids. I'm going to trust you with my job. I'm going to trust, whatever it is. If you're here today, you say, Pastor, there's an area of my life, and I need to trust the Lord with it today. I'm ready to do that. Would you just lift your hand this morning as a sign? Just say, I'm ready to put my trust in the Lord. I'm gonna surrender, right? And maybe you're here today and you say, you know what, Pastor? The thing I need to trust the Lord with is my entire life. Like, I've never surrendered my life. I've never trusted him. I've been trying. I've been searching. I've been trying to find joy. I've gone through all the different, you know, things that I can do. But God, I'm ready, Pastor. I'm ready to put my faith and my trust in the Lord today. Maybe that's your decision today, which, by the way, this whole day was designed for you. His whole day was designed so that there would be a party in heaven today as you put your trust in the Lord. Why don't we pray today? Father, I just pray for my friends. Lord, my heart goes out to them. I know what it's like. I've been there searching for joy, searching for purpose, wondering if it's possible, wondering, thinking, planning, trying, working. And God, this morning we've come to the end of the road, and we're realizing at this moment by revelation of your Holy Spirit, we're realizing that true joy can only be found as we put our trust in you. And so God, we surrender. Would you do that right now? Would you just surrender that area
that thing, that person, that thing. Would you just surrender it? Lord, we surrender to you today. God, forgive us for trying to control it. Forgive us for trying it on our own. Forgive us, Lord, and we just surrender to you. God, we say right now, we say we trust you. We say we trust you right now. We trust you. We trust you with our marriage. We trust you with our kids. We trust you with our business. We trust you with our finances. We trust you, Lord, today. We trust you. And God, I'm asking you, Lord, right now, I'm asking you for miracles in people's lives. I'm asking you, God, to bring that life-changing joy that can only come as we put our trust in you. And church, why don't you just pray this prayer? Because there's someone here today who's ready to put their trust completely in Jesus today. So let's just say this prayer together. Say, Jesus, I trust you. Come and rescue me. I admit that I'm a sinner. And I accept your grace. Come into my life. Lead me. Guide me. Give me that joy that I've been searching for. In Jesus' name, amen. We sang this song earlier. We sang, the words say, I trust in you in every season, in every moment. Can we take a moment? I didn't prep y'all. Can we take a moment and just sing those words this morning? And would you just fully surrender this your stuff to the Lord this morning? And here's what I know is God, what kind of a God trades, right, joy for pain, joy for your brokenness, right? Can we just worship for just a moment, and then we'll go eat cheeseburgers, all right? Can we do that? Let's sing for just a moment. You made a life changing decision today to put your trust in the Lord. And I'll just announce over you like Isaiah did that you will rejoice like the warrior who's dividing his plunder. The light is shining and the joy is increasing. Do you believe that today? All right, who's ready to eat double cheeseburgers? Anyone? All right. I hope you'll stay. We're going to have a great afternoon. So as you're leaving today, may the Lord bless you, keep you, cause his face to shine upon you, give you grace now and forever. Harvest, go be the church.
Thank you for listening to the Harvest Fellowship podcast. For more information, visit harvestabq.org.